Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Ooh, I feel like I'm echoing. I'll dial that down a little bit.
How is everyone this morning? I see nobody's soaking wet coming in, so you must have made it through the rain okay. But I know the yards are sure wet, aren't they, in the fields. I haven't been here for a little bit. It seems, and I'll be honest, I haven't been in a pulpit since last time I was here, or in the pulpit here, so it's been a while. So I'm a little nervous. It feels like the first time.
Ours is a pretty good way to start, because we're pretty forgiving.
Yeah. That's yes. I have to laugh. I was looking at your opportunity on the 31st for someone to work in junior church. Whoever wants to volunteer, we probably won't be here, so the spirit children... And we should probably have a word of prayer for whoever is down there today. I'm not sure. Oh, goodness. But it's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to see everybody. I love coming over here because you all have such a great spirit. And it just always it's so nice to walk in here and just feel so welcome and so wanted. So... I tell you, coming up with a message this morning, like I said, it almost felt kind of new. I was looking through, you know, going through Scripture, going through and I tell you, some of the things you'll probably think, good golly, he's more on a rant than he is a sermon today. I don't know, but I'm going to start off. You know, Charles Spurgeon, and everybody, well, knows who Charles Spurgeon was, but one quote that he had when questioned about his style of preaching is he says, I take my text and I make a beeline to the cross. And I was reading this on if you ever read some of his quotes, they're wonderful, but it makes a beeline to the cross. The gospel message is one of the most important things that we have to give from the pulpit. I mean, this is what the gospel message is, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I was reading another pastor who had written a blog or something on the online, you know, online on his notes, and he had put a sermon without the gospel is like, and left it open. And a sermon without the gospel is like, and so he had several responses, and I'm going to read a few of those. A sermon is without the gospel is like a Twinkie without cream filling, a run without a finish line, a shower without water. That's a tough one. Eating wax fruit. It looks good, but there's no substance. Football without a football. Ham without a burger. Peanut butter with no jelly, or P&B with no J. I'm sorry, I don't like J on mine anyway, so that one really didn't pertain to me too much. I'm a peanut butter only kind if I do that. But a water with no melon, bike ride without a bike, a marriage without a spouse, pizza with no dough, Olympics with no athletes, a bow without an arrow because it pierces nobody. There were a few others too, but that's just a... Several wrote back in and wrote their responses without the gospel. And so in going there, I just kind of wanted to share that. But what is the gospel message? I mean, the gospel message, Denny Unkin, you guys remember Denny. Denny used to talk about the one of the clearest paths to the gospel message is 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going there, but... and I can't even get there anyway. I'm in Romans again. But in as short as this, but the very beginning of 15, I remember Denny talking about this in one of our Bible studies one time. Right in the very beginning, Paul's talking about, I delivered, on verse 3, for I delivered the first to you to which all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again on the third day according to Scriptures. And he was seen by Cephas and by the 12, and of course over 500 at one time, whom has been with us still to the present. And Paul goes on. But the clear vision of the gospel message, of the good news of Jesus Christ, and the clear message, he was buried, that he died and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. And of course, that brings us back to the life of Jesus Christ and a life that we can have knowing Him and having Him as our Savior, because death cannot overcome us. We will rise to life again. But I tell you, Romans 10, and you can flip to there if you want, Romans 10 verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart, with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes unto Him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between a Jew and a Greek, for the same Lord over all, over is rich to all who call upon Him, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, this is a clear version of the gospel message. If we announce or confess, we believe, we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we have salvation. Now, going in, what is salvation? What is to be sanctified by the Lord, to be justified, to have heaven as our goal, to have heaven as our reward, to know that we're going to go to heaven someday and be with our Lord and Savior. You know, it's so simple to understand, but one of the things you take salvation, what does it come from? What is it? It comes from the Lord, but what is it? It's grace. Grace is something that's given to us that we don't deserve. Grace is something that we are sinners. You ever, many of you have been a child of the Lord for a long time, but do you ever stop and think back to the time before you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew that you were part of God's plan? We're all sinners. We're still sinners, but we're forgiven by grace. Grace of God, He gives us that forgiveness, but He also is the one who called us into His flock. He is the one who called us and rescued us, claimed us to be righteous. The blood that He spilled upon that cross gave us the forgiveness of the sins that we commit. Grace, something that has been given to us that we don't deserve. You know, so many, and if you've been out and witnessed among a lot of the common when you're witnessing to somebody who's lost, a lot of them say, you know, I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. I haven't done anything to deserve to go to hell. Well, we know from Scripture that we're born in iniquity, that we have iniquity in our hearts. We're born with the sinful nature inside of us. We sin and we're born dead. We have to be given that grace or that salvation from God. We need to recognize and confess His name to be saved and to have that grace bestowed upon us. And so many have that whole thing kind of messed up, that I don't deserve to go to hell, or I'm good enough. And maybe many of you have said that in the past. I was one that, before I was saved, I was always scared to death. I knew I deserved, I guess. I just knew that I wasn't good enough. Matter of fact, I still pray sometimes and thank God for saving me, because I don't know why He picked me anyway. It's like, Lord, you sure You knew what You were doing, but thank You. You know, and He did know what He was doing. But, it's scary sometimes to think of the grace that's been bestowed upon us. And I think of the things that I do in this world and think of the grace that God still gives me. My sins have been forgiven from past and the ones I do in the present and the ones in the future. He has forgiven me for all my sins. And that is a grace that is given to me. So the main text I wanted you to turn to, and you can just flip back a page or maybe it's on the same page, is Romans 8. And a very popular verse that everybody knows, 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God to those who are called according to his purpose. You ever read that? Probably every one of you has even given that verse to somebody in a time of need, or in your own time of need, you've read that verse, or just in general, you've used that verse. That's a very popular verse, and we like to use that in a lot of different contexts. We like to give that in a lot of, it's a comforting text, it really is, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. This is a clear verse of grace. But I wanted to go back a little bit, and this is kind of what I was saying in the beginning. Do you ever wonder, I mean, in this world, in this life that we have, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Well, I love God. But I tell you what, sometimes you look around and it's not very good. There's things that happen to us that are just not very good. And you have to look at that and you wonder, well, why did Paul write this? What did God, what was he inspired from the Spirit of God to write this? What does that even mean? For all, you know, many of you read quotes or watch different pastors on TV and things, and there are so many feel-good messages out there still today that, you know, positive thinking makes a positive world, and love, God is love, it's all love, when you're going through a crisis, when you're going through, and we've all had it, we've all had times of tragedies, terrors, and things happen, horrific things that's happened to us in the past, and you read things like this, or you hear quotes from other pastors about how great life is, and if you just keep a positive measure. And I'll tell you what, does it help? It doesn't always help, does it? There's one thing that does help, is knowing that God is there, to knowing that he has not let us down, that knowing that grace is there, but it doesn't always give us that great feeling. We have to go through tragedies and sacrifices and different things in this world. It's part of life, and part of that is just having the faith to know that God is with us at all times, knowing that he has bestowed that grace upon us. So when we read this scripture and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, we have to wonder sometimes when we're going through that tragedy, what do you mean the good? What is the good that God is talking about here? Because when we read that, we want it right then. We want an instant relief. We want the things that have happened to go away. We want a reverse. Has anybody ever had a time in their life and they just want to just turn time back? Do you remember the old Superman, one of the first Supermans, and Lois Lane gets caught in the earthquake happens, splits open, swallows her car, and he spins around the world super fast. And turns back time and then rescues Lois Lane. It doesn't happen. Can't happen. But have you ever had that in your mind that if we could just turn it back just a little bit, I can change this. I can make this right. I can stop what's happening. But that's not real life. You know, we live in a real world and things happen to us all the time. Things are going to happen to us. And by God's grace, we can get through. By the grace that he gives us, the love that he gives us, we can get through things. There's so many things happening in this world right now, and so the thing, when I talk about we live in this real world because real things happen to us, sometimes our looking to change and or we want a fairy tale, and it just doesn't happen. I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes it's bad things, it does happen in this world. And it's not always for the good. But see, Paul is really talking. The Spirit of God is telling us that it is a good to those who love God. Because what happens in this life? What is our purpose in life? According to His purpose, He finishes up this. And of course, if we read on through Romans 8, we know that He has a plan. And that plan is being fulfilled. And that we are part of that plan. And that He conforms us to work into that plan. And so the tragedies and things that we go through, or the reality that we go through, sometimes takes us through the plan that God has set before us. The plan that He has to show His glory. And we also read that through chapter 9 of because He is showing His glory through the sufferings of this world. The sinful nature of this world brings upon the sufferings almost all the sufferings. We know that death, disease, and bloodshed is a part of the curse of the world. We also know that the world, if we back up even just a little bit into verse 22 of chapter 8, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now, because it is even the creation that is under the curse is ready to be freed from that curse also. The creation itself will be set free. Someday when Jesus Christ returns again and establishes His kingdom, it'll all change. So, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. That's the big picture. That's the wonderful picture. That's the picture of faith, to look forward to what God is in store for us as a life, is in store for us to bring His children together and establish heaven, His kingdom, and that we will be with Him forever. And for Him to show His glory and to show His goodness and to bestow His grace. His grace to those who love Him. See, all things work together for that ultimate purpose, that ultimate end, that the finish line. And so when we read things like this and we know that all things work together for good, it isn't always good. We have a lot of suffering in this life, but it all is going to come together. And we can take that and know that His grace, when we love Him and we've confessed His name before many, and we know that we have Him in our hearts and He is our Lord and Savior, that all things are going to work out to the good, and that things happen to us for a reason. Things happen to us for a purpose. And He sets and brings us into His grace, and He holds us to where we need to be. So many people but there are so many things that are going on in this world, and I just kind of want to touch on some of these. I've kind of gotten ahead of myself a little bit, I'll be honest, or maybe behind myself, I'm not sure. If you had notes like these, you would be lost too. God is so good, though, and we are under His grace, under that gospel message, under that the fact that He died for us, that He died knowing what kind of people we are. I guess that's kind of, I kind of took a turn and I went the wrong way, because I really, so I'm going to back up just a little bit. I wanted to, when I talk about the realities of this world, I wanted to talk about the realities that we go through and the tragedies and things that we do go through. But not only just the tragedies and things, but just the different lifestyles that each of us have. I just wanted to make sure that we all understand what grace is, that He has saved us, He has called us to a purpose, and He has given us that grace to bring His glory, but that some that it's hard for some of us, we can be so judgmental and not bestow grace in our own lives upon the people that we even love, but also give also grace to those just around us. We live in a world that is very judgmental. And that's kind of where I'm backing up to, is the fact that God has bestowed grace upon us. Sometimes we need to bestow grace upon other people. some of the things I wrote down, and again, this is just some of these things that, you know, most of you know Robin Williams has passed and had was committed suicide. And if you ever read, now there was a lot of good things on a lot of different things about Robin Williams. And matter of fact, they wrote about, you know, all his accomplishments and things like that. But, you know, the first things that sometimes people jump to is the fact that the suicide is so, why? What is so, and so I even tend to sometimes judge and think, what was, why? What, that's senseless. And it can be. But one of the things I heard in an interview, and I just kind of wanted to share this, it's not really, was one of his best friends had just made the point that he said that if somebody like Robin could get to the point or get there to that point, then anybody can. That anybody in this world can get there. If he can get there, anybody can get there, and that we need to seek help. I thought that was profound, because how many times do we see people in distress, and how many people do we see, and we know and we think, golly, how can they get there? How could they do something like that? Or how can that happen? And somebody like him, if he can get there, then anybody can get there. And he's really, when that guy was speaking of that, he was talking about any of us. One of the, Dr. Drew, I think, is the one that was talking to, and he said, wasn't Robin Williams in getting therapy, getting help? And he said, yeah, he was with some of the best doctors and some of the best therapists there are. But one of the things I thought was profound, he said, but it's just like a cancer or heart disease or any other disease, that you can go to the best doctors and still not make it. It is what it is. And I always think of that. I never thought about it that way. I think of, you have a pastor that works with, you know, so many in this community, and my goodness, what a help he is, I know, to so many. And the stories that he could probably sit down and tell us that we wouldn't want to hear. But the thing is it doesn't matter what, you know, these are things that are reality. We think about Robin Williams, if he just knew Jesus Christ, and I don't know that he didn't. I don't have a clue where his spirituality or his spiritual where he was. But you want to take somebody and you want to say, oh, if you just knew Jesus, how he could he would have been fine. But that's not always true either. It's true that their spiritual side is that they can know Jesus Christ, but they still have a torment and a reality in this life that they can't get along with. One of the things that I was just looking, most of you know that both of my boys have been through some a rehab type things, and I know some others that have been through different substance abuse type help. And one of the things that we share around the table is that everybody, and when you go to, we're presently involved in a relationship like that with another person also. But whenever you have that sense that you go into a help or you go into a home, especially a Christian, I'm going with a Christian avenue, we get this sense of somebody's claiming Jesus Christ, that everything's just going to be fine again. And 9 times out of 10, when they leave that realm or that hedge of protection that they are into a group, things all come right back again. My boys talk about all those gentlemen that just praised the Lord and fell down on their face and, you know, did, it was, a lot of it was Pentecostal, so they did the rolling around, they did everything, but then they would go right back to the same lifestyle, right back to the same talk, right back to the same style. It was all kind of an emotional feel good. The sad part is a lot of the men that both boys have spent time with, that kept up with them, a lot of those gentlemen are gone now through overdose or intentional suicide, which hurt. Hurt a lot of us. Hurt me as well as, but hurt my boys too. because they spent time with them and they saw the changes or what they thought. Now, I guess what I'm trying to go back is the grace that is bestowed upon Christ is the part where they could was introduced to Christ, maybe confessed Him with their mouth and understood. But the reality is they went right back to the same lifestyle because they live in such a world that we live in is so negative and so full of sin. And they went right back to it. And the judgmental part for somebody like myself is that, yeah, they was never saved in the first place. They didn't do this, they didn't do that. You know, we talk about sexual perversion, we talk about unwanted pregnancies all these different things like this, and we tend to judge somebody and put them into this. They need to be so perfect, and the fact is they don't even know Jesus. They don't know anything, but they may. They may just need a helping hand. They may just need a smile. They may just need a help. When I was going to a class with Dr. Tony King one time, he had a gentleman that was an addict. His name was Phil. That's all I knew about him. I don't know him or anything, and he had passed away while we were in this class. And Phil evidently was an addict that would come in and even stand up in the back sometimes and argue with the pastor in front of everybody, and maybe even be in a state of intoxication of some route. But I just remember, because I thought when Tony was telling us this story, and this has been several years ago, this has been 10 years ago or more, and I remember Tony telling us this story, and I'm thinking, why would you even want that guy in your pulpit, in your congregation? I didn't say it, but that's what I was thinking. And I just remember Tony, when he passed away, he'd come, he was telling us these stories, and then later on, a few weeks later, this man had OD'd and died. And I remember Tony King coming into coming into class and was sad. He was going to do the funeral, but he announced that Phil was in heaven now and was free. And I thought, now how? Not the stories you were telling me. But he really believed and knew from the confession of Phil that Phil was there. And so there are so many other judgments we make, behavior problems, and there's so many things in the news, this Michael Brown situations, these other, we've had, I just know from bringing up a crew like that we have, that there's so many different things that tradition and what we have set before us just isn't quite what we perceive isn't what's real. What we want to perceive is sometimes what I guess is what it should be, or is what I'm trying to say. We know that all things work together for the good who love God, those who love God. All things will work out in the end. Whether addictions, whether pregnancies, whether suicides, whether just death, tragedies, disciplines, behaviors, all these different things that are happening in this world and to our own families and to our own homosexuality, all these things that we deal with, we need to stop judging and we need to bestow grace. We need to give grace in our own lives. I'm not saying don't call sin sin, because we need to be calling sin sin. But we don't need to be judging that person, because I'll tell you, sometimes they just need the love that we have been given by our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because let's face it, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And a sin is a sin is a sin. All deserving of death. And we, as God's people, we deserve death. Well, not as God's people, but as we as a people deserve death. But through God, through His blessing, through His blood that was shed on that cross, He gave us something that we don't deserve, and that's grace. That's salvation. That's a promise for eternity with Him. Not in hell, but in heaven. And that's kind of the message I just wanted to kind of go for today, is that sometimes we need to stop and think about the situations that's going on, whether they're in our own family, and I know there's some here, children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, whatever, that know exactly what I'm talking about. The lives aren't going quite what you think they should. And sometimes you just like to take them right out and just beat the snot out of them and teach them right. But it doesn't work. Because they need to learn and they need to have a little grace from us. Again, the teaching is there. We need to teach right and wrong. But we need to have a little grace in between. Because let's face it, God has grace with us. I know a lot of right and wrong, and I still do an awful lot of wrong. And God still bestows His grace upon me. Undeserving as I am, He still does. For those who love God, I love God. And for those who are called according to His purpose, we all have a purpose in this life. We all have a purpose to fulfill, to glorify His name. And it will all come together in His perfect plan in the end, and we'll all serve together. And I can't wait for the day when all this sin and all those things that we deal with are gone. Amen? It'll be gone. And we won't have to deal with it anymore. As we close today, and I just want to ask that we bow our heads, and as Susie comes up, we can have our last song. We do have a last song, right? Yes. I had to look. I'm sorry. Anyway, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank You so much today that, Lord God, that You do give us grace. Lord God, that You loved us enough to send Your Son to die on that cross. The blood that was shed for an undeserving people, even as He hung up on the cross, He said, "Forgive them not, for they know not what they do." For while we were still sinners, He died. Lord God, thank You for that. And for all the things that we keep doing and the things that we think and the things that we do over the sins that we have and the iniquities in our life, Father, You still love us and You still forgive us. All we have to do is come to You. Father, if there's anyone out that does not know You today, Father, that hasn't confessed You as their Lord and Savior, Father, may they come open today to the cross today. They can bow down in front of the pulpit here. They can confess You as their Lord and Savior. Father, we thank You again for this day. We thank You for all that You do for us. Be with each and every one. And be with Pastor as he is on vacation also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Looks like 4:16.
Let's all stand. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope everybody has a wonderful week. Stay strong in the Lord, and don't overwork yourselves. It sounds like a pretty hard project going on. So, Randy, would you close us in prayer?
Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come here to hear Your word, praise Your Lord. We thank You for Joe Spirit, who brought the message for us today. We ask that You would be with us as we go our separate ways. And we ask, Father, that You would encourage us and lead us to help others along their way during their struggles, to get to know You, to come to know You, or even, Father, just to give them hope that something is better on the horizon. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.